When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to Stacking the Box. I am Sterling Holmes, Ian McMillan on full vacation mode. And boy, do we have a show for you. Ian's live from Canada, so that's obviously a big aspect of this. But we're breaking down the key takeaways from the NFL preseason week one. Key moments from the Chiefs-Falcons game. We'll evaluate the performances of rookie quarterbacks and discuss Justin Fields' rough outing. And I mean rough outing with two fumbles. Talk about more as a preseason game plan as a whole. Should starters play? Should they sit? And we'll do coach of the year predictions. Ian, I'm going to kick your ass there just how I did in rookie of the year voting last week. But Ian, vacation Ian, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Sterling. Yeah, I'm up here at Muskoka Lakes in Canada. I got my vacation shirt on. I got my vacation beard growing out. I hit a 35-1 winner on the PGA Tour yesterday. Everything's coming up Ian these past couple days.
I'm jealous. I've never been to Canada, and I've always wanted to go. We were talking before the show. I just thought Canada, like, you know, 80% of it's uninhabited. It's just a wasteland. Yeah. Like, who wants to go to Canada? I want to go to Canada. I need you to be my tour guide.
Well, Canada, it all depends on what. Canada is a big country, if people didn't know that. So it depends on what you want. Do you want to, you know, see some, you know, oceanside stuff, some lighthouses, some seafood? Then you want to go the East Coast. If you want more like prairies and kind of mountains and that kind of vibe, then you go to the, you know, the prairies, you know, Alberta maybe. You could go West Coast. I've never even been to the West Coast, so I don't even really know out there, but Vancouver is basically just a Canadian version of Seattle. And then you have Toronto, which is the Canada's New York.
So you've never been to the West part of Canada. Why do you hate Canada? I thought you're from there.
It's far, dude. There's nothing out there for me. In my opinion, the West Coast is a lesser version of the East Coast. I'm from the East Coast. I like the East Coast. I'll stick to the East Coast, occasionally Toronto and Ontario area. No need for me to go west.
And apparently you met your fiance on, was it CanadiansOnly.com? Was that what it was?
No, it was just Hinge. But yes, we did meet on a dating app while in New York. A couple of Canadians got together. So yeah, I'm at her cottage now at Muskoka Lakes, a little bit north of Toronto. Philip Guy in the chat says East Coast bias. Yes, I do have an East Coast bias. And there is only one road in Canada. I think there is one highway that goes from the east of Canada to the west.
Man, it just sounds like 1920. Like, it's very Amish feeling. Beautiful. In Canada. I want to go. I bet they get like, I don't know, good seafood up there. That's all I just think cold. When I think Canada, I think cold. They both start with C's. That's about all they have going for them.
That is a common thing that people think about Canada. Are the winters cold? Yes, specific areas, especially where I'm from out east. It gets very cold in the winter, but the summers are still hot. The summers get just as hot. Now, obviously, if you want to go north in the territories, to like Nunavut, then yeah, it's going to be kind of cold.
See, again, it really is. Canada really is like the 1800s. They have territories. Like, remember like the Louisiana Purchase and you had territories. You had like the Texas Territory. You had like the Arizona Territory. That's still Canada. They just don't even care up there.
Can you name the three Canadian territories?
East, Central, West. I don't know.
Nunavut, Northwest Territories, and the Yukon.
Ah, yeah, Yukon. That makes sense. There's a lot of potatoes up there. All right, let's get into it. Takeaways from the Falcons game. We'll start with the Falcons first. What were your main takeaways from the preseason game one of the Atlanta Falcons?
Yeah, there's only one thing really to watch for the opening game of the preseason for the Falcons, and that was Michael Penix Jr., because no one really of note played. If you look at the receivers even Penix played with, it was guys I didn't even know existed that were on the roster. And Penix looked fantastic. And really, that's kind of the story overall of the first week of the preseason, is how good rookie quarterbacks looked. Basically, every single one had a good first start. Drake May over the Patriots not only played a drive, but Penix Jr., fantastic. 9 for 16, 104 yards. He hit a beautiful teardrop deep pass up the right sideline in the first quarter. Fantastic. And this is, listen, when they drafted Penix, I know that I hated the draft pick, but before we even signed Kirk Cousins, I think I'm on record saying it. I wanted the Falcons to do one of two things, either sign Kirk Cousins as a free agent or draft Penix. I thought Penix was the most pro-ready quarterback. I think he's built like a professional quarterback. Now, the issue was they did both of those things at the same time, which I don't know if that was necessarily the right move, but I've always been a Penix guy, and always as in like the past 8 months after I saw him in the college football playoff. I like him. I think he looks like a professional quarterback. I'm still trying to figure out who exactly like is the comparison for me, like who I think he's the most like. Kind of like Josh Allen because his size, but I don't think he has the mobility of Josh Allen. The name that's kind of popped up in my mind the most is like a prime Dante Culpepper, like before he kind of fell off and was terrible. But I love what I saw from Penix Jr. That was pretty much my only takeaway from the first Falcons game, because nobody else of note really played. Great start for his Falcons career. Now, hopefully we don't see him in the regular season for a couple of seasons. But I mean, if something happens to Kirk Cousins, our season isn't over. I think, at this point.
Prime Dante Culpepper is a bold choice for a man who's played one preseason game and went 9 of 16. That is a bold take from Ian. I'm kind of in agreement with you with the Falcons. You and I talked about it. You swayed me into Kirk Cousins being the best fit for the Falcons, and it really is. Then also Michael Penix Jr. Like, I don't think he's Jaden Daniels nor Caleb Williams. But as far as a team needing a more NFL-ready quarterback, the Falcons would have made sense if they didn't get Kirk and if they would have gone with Michael Penix Jr. Because he is older. I think the upside isn't the same as even a Drake May, right? But are you saying J.J. McCarthy or Michael Penix Jr.? I'm rolling with Michael every single time, at least from what we know right now. I'll probably be wrong because I was wrong about Trey Lance, so I can't wait for this one. But Trey Lance was a projection one. With Michael Penix Jr., you're almost going with the floor bet here. Like, I feel like the floor of Michael Penix Jr. is really, really solid. We'll see. But you're right. If anything were to happen to Kirk, the Falcons season is not over.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point. I think Penix is kind of a high floor guy. You're right. Maybe he doesn't have the ceiling of Caleb Williams, if Caleb Williams pans out, you know, as good as a lot of people think he's going to be. But I think he has a higher floor than those guys. I can't imagine a Penix Jr. that is just a terrible NFL quarterback and he's out of the league in a couple years.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, I think he's like a Tyrod Taylor, like worst case scenario, which is like a decent backup, but that's worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Whereas I could see a worst case scenario for like a Jaden Daniels, and he's like out of the league in like 4 years.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams are fine, but I think it's the next tier down. I think it's the Bo Nixes, the J.J. McCarthy's, even Drake May to an extent I could see. Yeah. As far as the Chiefs preseason game, Andy likes to play his starters for at least a drive or two. Mahomes looked sharp. Left tackle with Kingsley Sumatiya. It was, what, 6 snaps, 11 snaps? Not enough to really glean anything from. You can sit here and say, hey, I didn't notice him. That's great, but I can't get too excited. Hollywood Brown made a great catch. First play of the game. Got injured, which sucks. It's the same injury that Tyreek Hill had. It was the, basically, like your clavicle shoulder combo. Had to go to the hospital because there's always concern for major arteries and just some moving parts, right? Some things that can cause, I think, organ damage. Like, doesn't seem to be the case. Seems to be the exact same thing as Tyreek Hill. And Tyreek missed, I believe it was 4 games. Well, you can make the case that luckily this is preseason game 1, not preseason game 3. But this does put the start of the season in jeopardy for Hollywood Brown. Not great considering he kind of fits a unique role on the Chiefs. Like Rashee Rice is more of that power slot guy. Xavier Worthy looked fine, didn't do a whole bunch, but he also came out of the game early, which I think tells you a lot of how the Chiefs view Xavier Worthy. They view him as a legit first teamer, which is a little unique for a receiver in an Andy Reid system who is a rookie. I don't know who fits Hollywood Brown's role if he is to miss a week or two. That's my one concern. Defensively, fine. They buckled down a few times when they needed to. Offensively, fine. They didn't punch it in the red zone when they needed to. Carson Steele might be bringing the fullback / power running back move back. Kind of a fun story for a UDFA guy from UCLA. Huge man. Has like, I think, a pet alligator. Dude's a badass. He had a nice 20-yard rumbling, stumbling, bumbling run. Also culminated in a touchdown. But overall, I think a lot of the same concerns the Chiefs had with injuries potentially to the smaller wide receivers came to fruition. Hollywood Brown's been injured a ton in his career. And then in the secondary, who's going to step up and take the CB2 job alongside Trent McDuffie, who already has it? That didn't happen. Obviously, Jalen Watson didn't play because of injury. Nazi Johnson working his way back, but Williams looked okay. Keith Taylor, who's I don't think makes the team, got a ton of run. I'm not concerned. They obviously fell. I think the biggest, maybe intriguing part of the game outside of the injury and stuff was from a ruling standpoint on the kickoff. Mecole Hardman took a kickoff. He thought he got it on the 1-yard line, thought you could fair catch. You can't. Ended up as a safety, which I think the NFL needs to try and get more clarity on, because it almost looks like he should be down at the 1-yard line if that were to be the case. Just a little bit of uncertainty with the new rule. Of course, it happened in the preseason, so that's great, right? But the final ruling was a safety. We'll see what happens. But I thought that was a little confusing, because even on my end, I'm still a little perplexed on how that's not ruled, at least on the 1-yard line. Versus a safety, and obviously fair catch is no longer a thing. So just some confusion on the kickoff rules, which I think you're going to have some growing pains, especially the last couple preseason games too.
Yeah, that's the great part of preseason is especially with a new rule change like that, we can kind of see where the issues are and where we need some clarification. I do have to say, because you brought up the injury, Falcons lost Rondale Moore for the season. Not ideal. Pretty good one for one deal. I thought we got for Desmond Ridder there. I thought he could have slid in as a decent number two, number three guy. But the way I'm looking at it is that I think every single team has to sacrifice a player to the injury gods. So if the player we had to sacrifice to the injury gods is Rondale Moore and we can stay completely healthy the rest of the roster, knock on wood, I guess I'll take it. Still not ideal.
I just hate
it. But I do think like every team has at least one player that has to sacrifice to the injury gods. Ours was Rondale Moore.
I hate this. Like when injuries happen, and we'll get into a little longer discussion when it comes to preseason games and just totality, whether starters should or shouldn't play. But I just hate injuries, man. It really, really sucks. Again, for Rondale Moore, that's horrible. For Hollywood Brown, it sucks, but at least you have a chance to come back and maybe only miss a game or two, if any, right? Preseason game one injury, much better than preseason game three. All right. Rookie quarterbacks as a whole, you touched on it. They all looked surprisingly good. What was your main takeaway here?
Yeah, just like what I already mentioned, the fact that they all look good. Now, there's nothing I love more than an overreaction. But how cool would it be if they were just all great? If like in 10 years, we look back at the quarterback draft class of 2024, and they're just all like still in the NFL, like top tier quarterbacks. That'd be pretty cool. So I get like one drive, two drives from each quarterback, and I'm already sold in that every single quarterback draft in the first round is amazing. That'd be fun. None of them look bad. It would be pretty cool if they just all were great.
JJ started off a little shaky and then figured it out. Again, is that because he's going up against twos? By the time he figured it out, could be. Caleb
Bo
Williams
looks great.
Bo Nix. Yeah, they all look good. I mean, Drake May only played, what would you say, one drive. Yeah, it's tough to take a lot from that. But you're right, man. You know, Jaden Daniels didn't play a lot, but he looked good. It's exciting. You're right. I think Jaden Daniels will end up being the best quarterback of the rookie class. I'm all sold on the tools. I'm a toolsy guy. Like, I fully will use that as my, like Josh Allen, for example.
Tools.
I said he's going to be the best in that draft class, Josh Allen. I said Trey Lance. Didn't work, but tools, right? Tools. Like, so I'm pretty consistent in regards to what I see and what I try and take from. Trey Lance was horrible, by the way.
Yeah, I was just going to say, how did Trey Lance do yesterday? I didn't see. I saw that he was going to be their main quarterback. Brutal. I did not see.
He had like 25 for 41.
Yeah, 41 pass attempts, completed 61% for only 188 yards, 4.6 yards per throw, zero touchdowns, zero picks.
Remember when San Fran wanted him to check the ball down? They're like, just check the ball down. Well, now he's like, I'm only checking the ball down.
Yeah, that's a real Russell Wilson stat line there. Recent Russell Wilson. No disrespect to prime Russell Wilson, but that's a real Russell Wilson 2023 stat line there.
That's the opposite of why I said he was going to be good in the NFL.
Yeah.
I thought he would not do that. So again, I'm 50-50. So we'll see on Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. Maybe, NFL GM's got it right. Maybe there's a reason there was was it five quarterbacks in the top 11 picks? Is that what it was in the draft? Maybe GMs, were onto something. Maybe it was just
I still don't believe in Bo Nix or JJ McCarthy. I think if this was 10 years ago, those are third rounders.
Which of the two do you believe in more?
I mean, it's not a shocker. I think Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. I think.
But sorry, of Bo Nix and JJ McCarthy. Of those
JJ.
Two. Yeah. Okay.
JJ.
I kind of like Bo Nix. I don't think anyone likes Bo Nix except for Sean Payton and me. I kind of like him.
Kind of like him is now number two because Sean Payton likes him. And then you have to drop all the way down to kind of like,
right.
There's no, like,
I'm not, I'm not confident enough to like come out with a take that he's going to be like a great NFL quarterback. I'm not quite there, but I've quietly this whole time, even like heading into the draft, think I kind of like Bo Nix way more than like the general public does. So we'll see if he ends up being good. I'm going to victory lap, even though I never kind of came out with a set take, but.
Oh, wow. Congratulations for you victory lapping on a non-take. Good job. Yeah.
My specialty.
Justin Fields fumbles twice. What do you make of Justin Fields? Obviously, they are basically saying Russell Wilson's a starter, right? But I still think it's a fairly open, Let's be real now. If Russell struggles, they brought in Justin Fields for a reason. What do you make of this?
I don't know. I mean, the odds were getting a lot closer in terms of which quarterback was going to start week one. But I mean, this is Justin Fields. This has been his issue in his entire NFL career. There are small things that when you make the transition from being a college quarterback to an NFL quarterback that you got to get down. And handling the snap with your center and not letting that ball fumble is one of those things. And he did it. He fumbled twice. And what was it? A quarter that he played in, a quarter and a half he played in. But two fumbled snaps. Like, those are the things that, like, a professional quarterback can't do. Does Justin Fields have the highlights? Yes. Does he have a high ceiling? Yes. Does he have, you know, in fairness, the tools? I think you could say Justin Fields has the tools, but he just doesn't take the time or doesn't have the ability to do the small things right, the smart things right. That was his issue in Chicago. And I know, you know, and once again, another overreaction from half of a preseason game, a quarter of a preseason game. But it seems like those same issues have fallen into Pittsburgh. I've never been a Justin Fields guy. We both agreed on this. We weren't a Justin Fields guy the past couple of years. I didn't think him going to Pittsburgh was all of a sudden going to fix his issues, especially, I mean, his offensive coordinator is Arthur Smith, who's a bum. So, same old. This is exactly what I expected, and I don't expect it to fix. If he plays in the regular season, I expect the same thing. Fumbles, interceptions, you know, miscues. And then he'll have like three like long runs, and then people will post on Twitter those three long runs and be like, how is Justin Fields on a starting NFL quarterback?
And the thing was he actually made some good throws in this game. Right. It's just the back-breaking miscues.
Right. Which you can't have.
You can't have. You can't just have. Can't have it. It's if Jalen Hurts just all of a sudden decided he in multiple games he's going to fumble the rock and then throw interceptions. That may be the best way of laying this out. I think they're different style quarterbacks. Fields is a little quicker. Hurts is a little more bulky, I think, in regards to that. But again, I just don't see it with Justin Fields. I do think he should be the starter because I don't think the Steelers are going anywhere. And I think if you want to, again, we at least agree there's 5% chance he hits his ceiling, a 10% chance that Fields hits his ceiling. If he hits his ceiling, he's a really good NFL quarterback.
Sure.
Right? There's probably a 20% chance he turns into an above average quarterback. There's probably a 10% chance it's an average quarterback. There's what's that leave? Like 55% that he turns into what he is, which is a below average. What was that?
RG3.
Sure.
Which is like, he's going to get a couple chances and then be out of the NFL in 4 years.
So if I'm the Steelers, I still think that he should be the starter because you're not going anywhere with Russell Wilson, especially in the AFC, especially in the AFC North. But again, I digress. Steelers fans can't be thrilled by seeing that because if they wanted a real quarterback battle, if he just did what he did, throwing the football, you might have a case. But with the two fumbles, you do not.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Allo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
All right. Let's get into some secondary stories. Should starters play in preseason? And if so, how much?
Yeah, it's been interesting. I know through the first week, we'll see. I know that, you know, especially week two, we'll see some more starters play. But it just is interesting how some teams have handled it. Some teams not playing starters whatsoever. I think a couple teams aren't playing their starting quarterback at all in the entire preseason. Other teams played all their starters, you know, for a quarter. So it is an interesting discussion. I kind of lean on it. You got to get your starters in there at least a little bit. I mean, we've seen it, especially with quarterbacks the past couple seasons. The name that pops out to me is Joe Burrow, who missed, I think, the last two preseasons, right? And then he, both seasons, did knock it off to a good start. Two seasons ago, he turned things around at a very good second half of the season. Last year, we didn't kind of get to see that second half of the season because he ended up getting hurt. But some of those guys need some preseason action. Joe Burrow, I think, is certainly absolutely one of them. But it is an interesting discussion because it is completely, you know, a coach philosophy type of thing. There are some guys who will not play this entire preseason. I like the one quarter thing. I think you let your starters play a quarter week, first preseason game, second preseason game, maybe a quarter and a half, and then probably rest week three. I think if I was a coach, I think that's what I'd do.
Yeah, that's what I would do. It's what Andy Reid typically does. I mean, I don't want to keep bringing this up, but how much success have had the Chiefs have had? And obviously, that helps when you have Patrick Mahomes, but this has been the Andy Reid philosophy forever.
Right.
The Chiefs have the most difficult training camp. There's so many talks about it. All these new players come to Kansas City and they talk about how difficult the training camp is. And then they play in the preseason. Yeah. Andy gets them ready. Like, yeah. I don't get why more teams don't do this, especially teams that struggle. I think part of it is if you're not a well-established coach, if you're not a successful head coach in the NFL, let's say you're Joe Judge. Let's say you're, what's his name in Seattle? Mike McDonald, right?
McDonald's, yeah.
Like, it's hard to say, all right, DK, you're going out there. You're going to play a quarter. DK is out there throwing helmets, and the head coach is saying, "Well, we like being feisty. We like the." Are you scared of him? I think there's something to if you've had success in the NFL, you've been around, and all the players, veteran players, respect you. It's easy to say you're going out there in training camp, 100 degree heat. You're going out there, and you're gonna give it your all. I don't care. You're staying in a dorm. That's what they do in Kansas City. They stay in a dorm room. Okay, you think Joe Judge was going to go up to some of the veterans, to Dexter Lawrence, and saying, "Hey, you're staying in a dorm." How do you think that would go? How do you think saying, "Dexter, you're playing the first quarter"? Again, this is former head coach Joe Judge. It's easy when you're a veteran coach and you can say, "Look at the rings. This right. is what gets you the ring."
I mean, Bill Belichick did that in New England for like two decades. Like the Patriots always ran a tight ship. But it worked because people respected him because he had the wins.
Exactly. And so if you're going into a new situation and you don't have that sort of cachet, yes. I don't know how much the veteran players will say, yeah, I want to do that. Veteran players don't really want to be there in the heat. They don't want to stay in a dorm. They want the regular season to come around. They don't really care that much about the preseason. Majority of these guys. So I think it's a little hard. I think, for example, the Chiefs have the advantage there. I think these veteran head coaches, I think it was easier for Pete Carroll, if he wanted to do that, than it is for Mike McDonald. That's just my thought process. I would play the starters. I don't want them to play him a ton. I know injuries happen, but it's football. Injuries are always going to happen. It sucks what happened to Hollywood Brown. That could have happened the first snap of week one, right? Then you're in the exact same boat. He's in a new system. This is your first chance of contact, real contact, not against your teammates. You don't know until you actually get out there and do it. It sucks, obviously. I'm not saying play him four quarters. I'm not saying I need to see Travis necessarily out there, but guys like Hollywood Brown, Rashee Rice, Chris Jones to an extent, the tackles, Joe Tooney back from injury. I'd like to see him out. Like Creed Humphrey with his snaps. Like, yeah, I would like to see a couple drives of the ones in game action, because also the Chiefs don't do the joint scrimmages. They don't do that because of all the bleep that happens. I mean, you see all the fights that break out, right? Andy's like, I don't want to deal with that.
Right.
This is your only chance to go up against another team before the season starts. I'm all for playing the preseasons at least a little bit. All the players in the preseason at least a little bit.
I think you made a great point about it depends on the coach, because I think a perfect example, like I said, Bill Belichick could run that tight ship. But then we heard stories of kind of his assistant coaches who went to other teams and became their head coach and tried to do the Bill Belichick method, and players didn't respect it. Matt Patricia, you know, in Detroit, Josh McDaniels in Denver, Josh McDaniels again in Las Vegas. Yeah, you kind of need to earn that respect before you can ask that much of your players. And you know, so it is a mistake for new coaches to ask that much of their players when they themselves haven't proven it, at least as a head coach. I want to rip through these next couple topics here, Sterling, because I do want to get to this head coach, coach of the year draft. Speaking of coaches, CeeDee Lamb holdout, not good. Jerry Jones, not good. I want to read this quote because he said that he didn't have a sense of urgency about getting the CeeDee Lamb contract done. And then I just love this quote when, like, I think it was a couple days later when they asked him to clarify about it. And Jerry Jones said, "I don't know why I said it. I don't know. I don't have a sense of urgency about getting it done. Put any reason you want. I was at Nobu 2 days ago. Give that as the reason." Jerry Jones not looking to sign the best top three receiver in the NFL. He was at Nobu the other day. So he doesn't have concern about signing CeeDee Lamb.
In fairness to Jerry, I can't believe I'm saying this. He almost always takes care of his big name guys.
Which is why this is so weird. This is what, which is why it's so weird that now he's like, there's no urgency.
This happens so much. He wants to show that he's in control.
Yeah.
And then he gives you a top of the market deal.
Yeah.
Remember Dak Prescott? Same thing. Ezekiel Elliott? Same thing. Yeah. He loves to have the power. He wants to make sure you know that you're under contract and I could franchise tag your ass next year. He wants to show that he can do that if he wants to. But we all know what happens. He says, "I have no urgency. I don't care." But in the back of his mind, he wants to say, "I have the highest paid wide receiver on my team." He likes having that sort of cachet. He likes having that accolade that he can tell folk. I think they get a deal done eventually. It looks bad right now, but this happens almost every single time. And I get caught up in it. We all get caught up in it. And we like to make fun of Jerry. But in reality, when it comes to his stud players, he almost always takes care of them. Almost always. So I think this is no different. I don't think where is CeeDee Lamb going to go? Where is he going to go? He's got to go to a team that has a lot of cap space. He's got to go to a team that's willing to make him one of, if not the highest paid wide receiver in football. No one's going to give up a lot of draft capital for that. You'll see those ridiculous trades on the X, and those people are dumb. No one. Do you see what Tyreek Hill brought back? Yeah.
Not a lot.
CeeDee Lamb will be lucky to bring something close to that back. No one's given up multiple first round draft picks. You might not even get a first because you have to turn around and make him the highest paid wide receiver in football. You're not paying debit and credit. So the Cowboys don't get a huge value there as far as what they're receiving. I think CeeDee Lamb and Jerry, they'll squash this. They'll LOL, laugh about it in the words of CeeDee, and move on together.
Well, that actually brings me to the next topic, because I actually want to see some of these owners actually, and I can't believe I'm kind of siding with owners here, but players are getting a little ridiculous, and I think the Brandon Ayuk situation is a perfect example. The man of the trade, declined the trade to Cleveland, doesn't want to play there. Declined the trade to New England, doesn't want to play there. Even though he got the money, got, you know, the 49ers, everything worked except he just didn't want to play there. Will he only play for the Steelers or the 49ers, and also wants to be like a top paid wide receiver. So it's just like one of these owners just need to like make a stand and sacrifice a little bit of their team and just make these players just sit on the sideline for a year, because this is ridiculous. You can't just choose where to go and how much to get paid.
Does he have a no trade clause?
I don't know. Does he?
I would assume not. My point is on rookie contract.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he does have some kind of say for where he gets traded to. Yeah.
Oh, he does.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wild. That's wild in a rookie contract. Okay. Then my point's moot.
Because it was, they had a trade in place in New England and in Cleveland, and he declined both.
Yeah.
It was
all in place. I would say kick rocks then. If you don't want to play for us, we'll ship you off to New England. Have fun winning four games. This was your choice.
Right. That's what I would do. And that's what they were going to do, but he apparently declined the trade to New England. So he must have in his contract some trade clause.
Which makes zero sense as a rookie, with a rookie, or at least a rookie contract, right? Because he has to be on a rookie contract. I doubt they're
just being nice and being like, oh, you don't want to go there? I guess we won't trade you there then.
Yeah, the Chiefs did with Tyreek Hill because Tyreek had been with Kansas City for so long. They were trying to get a little goodwill with some free agents and stuff.
So clarification, he doesn't have a no trade clause, but he effectively holds veto power because by refusing to sign a new contract with any team the 49ers might reach a deal with. So, and like the Patriots won't agree to the trade unless Ayuk is like, okay, I will sign a new contract with you guys.
Oh, so that makes sense.
And contract is not a no trade clause, but it effectively is. So they're like, hey, we have this deal in place. Will you sign a new deal with the Patriots when we trade you there? And he's just like, no. So then they're like, okay, well then the trade's not going to go through.
Semi-smart move by Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah.
That gives you basically a no trade clause. That's pretty smart. Good for him.
It is smart, yeah, on his part. But also it's like, so you want to decide exactly what team you play for and exactly how much you get paid? Like, that's not how this works. Like, you got to sacrifice somewhere.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm on your side there, but I do think it's smart what he's doing. Sure. As far as, that's pretty clever. It's pretty clever. You're right. At some point, it's like, you can either have one or the other. You can't have everything.
Get the big contract, play for a crap team, or take a little less money and play for a Super Bowl contender. It's one of the two.
It's the way the game is set up in the salary cap era. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Yeah. You're going to go to the Steelers and what? You think they're a great team? They're slightly better than New England.
Why is that the other team he wants to play for?
I don't know.
Who cares?
Either way, the whole situation's weird. I have no feel of what happens. I assume he gets traded because it seems like all sort of relationship is lost. 49ers are still going to be good without him. I'd say he gets traded to the Steelers at some point. They'll find a way. But, if that happens, the teams are losing a lot of control.
Yeah. And the last thing I just want to shout out Nick Foles retired, which I would have guessed he already retired, but Nick Foles retired, Super Bowl champion, very strange quarterback in the sense that like he didn't have a good long successful career, but for two seasons he was great. One season resulted in a Super Bowl. Any thoughts about Nick Foles? He was kind of like a mini Eli Manning, except Eli Manning was, you know, better for a longer period of time. But then just like got elite when he had to get elite and had two Super Bowls. Nick Foles only won Super Bowl, but.
Sorry, I had a sneeze there. I was trying to not do that. Andy Reid somewhat revitalized his career when he came to Kansas City. And then all of a sudden he kind of bounced back. I'll remember Nick Foles fondly. I lived in Philadelphia at the time. I was there when he won the Super Bowl. I helped celebrate with the Eagles fans. I chugged a beer on City Hall. It was great. And that was thanks to Nick Foles. That was such a magical run. Like when Carson Wentz went down, everyone thought their season was over because Carson Wentz up to that point was playing like an MVP candidate. Like Carson Wentz was probably going to win MVP that year.
Yep.
He goes down and everyone's like, it's over. Nick Foles steps in and almost plays better.
Yeah. crazy.
Like,
and one of the best Super Bowl performances of all time, too.
Of all time. Yeah. Like, people forget that was one of the best performances of Tom Brady in a Super Bowl.
And he lost.
And Nick Foles outdueled him.
Yeah, crazy.
I mean, I was just great career. I mean, honestly, that's what it comes down to is, do you have a memorable moment? Do you have a memorable, good memorable, not a bad memorable? Do you have something that stands out that will stand the test of time? And yeah, that will for Nick Foles. That's damn cool. So happy for him.
Yep. Congratulations on a career. All right, let's Coach of the Year draft. As always, we're doing a drafts for picks for each award. We've done MVP. We did offensive rookie, defensive rookie. So we're going to go snake draft, given our picks for who we think's going to win Coach of the Year. I'm excited for this one, Sterling, because this is wide open. Where the other ones, like, there is a clear, at least, like, top five guys. Robbie's going to go top five. Coach of the Year, you can make a case for basically any coach in the NFL. And the odds kind of indicate that as well. The favorite is at 9-1. The coach with the longest odds is at 60-1. So it's certainly not, I mean, no one longer than 60-1 odds. So this, anyone could win Coach of the Year. Do you want to go first or second?
What did I do last week?
I don't remember. You went first last week.
Okay, so you go first this week. First.
Okay. All right, I will start then, and I will keep it pretty simple, and I will take my guy, Raheem Morris.
Yeah, I knew that was happening.
I mean, Coach of the Year is one of two things. It's either, you know, the head coach of the most dominant team. If there's one team that's by far better than anyone else, you know, a team that goes 15-2, then it's probably going to be that coach. Or it's a coach that takes a bad team to a playoff team, probably to a division title. Raheem Morris falls in the latter of those two categories. Falcons have been, you know, 7-win team 3 seasons in a row. And now he's going into a perfect situation. Great hire, especially on the offensive coordinator with Zach Robinson. He's got Kirk Cousins. He's got Bijan Robinson. He's got a defense that stepped up in a big way last year. He's a defensive guy. Hopefully he can, you know, take that defense even a step further. The Falcons have by far the easiest schedule in the NFL based on opponent projected win total. So that's going to help Raheem Morris and the Falcons. So, yeah, I'm obviously going to take my guy. He's third on the odds list, by the way, 12-1. So he is not the betting favorite. But if you want to bet someone, I like Raheem Morris.
So I get two here. I'll go with the most obvious one, Matt Eberflus of the Bears. I don't know how much I like it, but the Bears are the most talked about team, the most predicted team to go from bad to at least solid. If they make the playoffs, just because of all the preseason hype, I think that's enough. Mm-hmm. Just all the hype around Caleb Williams and all the offensive pieces that were brought in. I don't know how much Matt would have had a hand in them getting better. I think it's the players, but he'll get the credit. So my first pick will be Matt Eberflus. Second one, I'll go D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico Ryans should have won last year.
Who did win last year?
Kevin Stefanski of the Browns.
Oh, yeah.
Who was a two-time winner, by the way. Stefanski's now won twice.
Shout out.
And I don't think Andy Reid has won since 2002, which, you know, makes a lot of sense. I always think of Kevin Stefanski as the better coach than Andy Reid, right?
Sure. Well, I think the big reason why Kevin Stefanski, not to go off your pick here, but I think the Browns had so many injuries and they still had like an 11-4.
Oh, it was awesome. I thought D'Amico Ryans going from the worst team in the NFL to making the playoffs. I would
have voted for D'Amico Ryans for sure.
So I'll go D'Amico Ryans. I think he might get a little bit of a, hey, you probably should have won it last year. Wink, wink. Here you go. So if it's close, I think they might hand it to D'Amico since he was deserving last year. So I'll go D'Amico Ryans number two.
All right. I like it. Matt Eberflus second on the odds list at 10-1. D'Amico Ryans fifth on the odds list at 14-1. You're missing the betting favorite. You did not draft him, so I will not hesitate to take him. And that is obviously Jim Harbaugh. You have no interest in taking Jim Harbaugh. I mean, going in at least, I mean, he has talent. He has a quarterback. You know, there's still a lot of holes in Los Angeles, but we've seen Jim Harbaugh in the NFL in the past get the most from his players, at least for a couple of seasons. You know,
that's a 7-win team max.
You're not. Okay. I have the Chargers making the playoffs. I think they get a wild card spot.
Yeah. Who's catching the football outside of the Ladd McConkey?
I'm a Jim Harbaugh guy. I'll figure it out. I'm going to go a little bit off the board here. It's a team that I'm very high on this season. A lot of people aren't high on. I don't know if I've said that on this show in the past, but I'm going to go Mike McDaniel, 22-1. We know what he can do offensively with that Dolphins team. By far the most skilled offense, I think, the most talented, the most flashy, at least you could say, for offense in the NFL. Certainly has some issues on defense, but I think they plugged a couple of holes this offseason, especially getting some depth guys. I think a lot of people, when they think of the Dolphins, they think of that Chiefs game in the playoffs last year, which was not their best showing. But people forget about the performances they had, especially in the first half of the season. How many points did they score against the Broncos?
Almost 70,
wasn't it? So, I mean, listen, they can put up points for Mike McDaniel to win coach of the year. They're probably going to have to be the number one seed in the AFC, I would think. I don't think just winning the AFC East is going to do it. But still, I like Mike McDaniel a lot. I think he's still a young coach that has some things to learn. I think he can take the next step this year. So I'll take Jim Harbaugh and Mike McDaniel as my wraparound pick.
What's funny is the coach of the year award is typically a death nail in your career as a head coach. Jason Garrett won in 2016, Ron Rivera 2015, Matt Nagy 2018, Mike Vrabel 2021, Brian Daboll 2022. If they don't do anything, he's probably getting canned this year. I mean, you just go down.
Fade the Browns this year.
Marvin Lewis in 2009. Like, don't get me wrong. There's some good ones in here too, but there's a lot of you win this in a couple of years down the road, you might be getting canned. Jim Harbaugh actually won it already once in 2011. So kind of funny.
It's almost like as if like, I mean, all those coaches he named, I believe, are coaches who took a team that was really bad 1 year to like pretty good the next year. And it's almost like as if that necessarily isn't due to the coach. It's almost like as if that's just due to like variance. Like they just won games, a few games, because that's all it takes in the NFL. You win four games that you probably shouldn't have won and you're a playoff team.
Yep.
That was the Giants a couple of years. That Giants team was not nearly as good as the record. They did not deserve to be a playoff team, but they just got like a couple bounces here and there. So it's in some sense, you know, I guess a coach at least gets you to those spots, but
I'm always irritated that Bill Belichick did not win more. That's kind of my gripe.
Yeah.
Not even necessarily Andy Reid. I can make that argument, but I think just to be unbiased, Bill Belichick should have won a lot more. He was the consensus best head coach in the NFL, and we have to somehow do these gymnastics to say, now let's give it to someone else.
Yeah.
I think it's more so in college sports, where college, you're also the GM, as if you will, right? You pick your players and then you win. I just always have a little bit of an issue with it, but I understand the voting of basically expectations or from bad to good.
Yeah.
I'll go Stane Steichen with the Colts. I think Anthony Richardson's a good quarterback. I could see him making the, playoffs, and I wouldn't be too surprised. So I'll go with him.
Okay.
And then another just media pick. I'll go with the Jets. Robert Sala.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just straight media pick. That's just, if they do well, if they make the playoffs, Robert Saleh is going to get a lot of love.
Yeah. All right. So I've got my last two picks. I'm going to take a rookie head coach. Cause I mean, that could certainly happen. Brian Daboll was like a rookie head coach there 2 years ago when he won it. I think I'm going to go Mike McDonald up in Seattle. I think he's in a situation where he could make some noise. In the NFC, is going to be a little bit easier than the AFC. You know, obviously the 49ers are top the NFC West, but the rest of that division is pretty open. I'll go Mike McDonald, and then my wraparound pick will just be the media darling, Dan Campbell. Everyone loves Dan Campbell. How could you not love Dan Campbell? You could make an argument Dan Campbell should have won Coach of the Year last year, too.
Sure. I like it. I like it.
Your last pick.
I'll finish up with, I think, a surprise team that you and I somewhat agree on. The Cardinals, Jonathan Gannon.
Okay. Yep.
I could see them again. The NFC, not great. They make the playoffs after the debacle of the last couple seasons. Kyler Murray looks good. I think Gannon could get some love. So I'll go Jonathan Gannon.
I like it. So there you go. Those are our teams. I got Jim Harbaugh, Raheem Morris, Mike McDaniel, Mike McDonald, and Dan Campbell. Sterling, you took Matt Eberflus, D'Amico Ryan, Shane Steichen, Jonathan Gannon, and Robert Saleh.
Yeah, baby.
Neither of us took the fourth coach on the odds list. Matt LaFleur was kind of the one left off the board of the Packers.
I think if you win a playoff game, you're already there. Like that's kind of, but I guess the Texans kind of the same boat, but you know, I guess we could have, I just didn't, I feel like they're almost already good enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like it's gonna be too hard. That was kind of why Dan Campbell, I kind of stayed away from a little bit, same situation, but I guess I went against it with D'Amico. I just thought that they might give him a little bit of love after shafting him last year.
Coach with the longest odds, 60-1, Andy Reid.
It's so silly. Like
he's tied with John Harbaugh. So it's like, if you're a head coach of like an already established, really good team, good luck. You're not going to win.
Yeah. It's like, sorry, apparent coach of the year. No, you're not. You guys are actually the two worst head coaches. Yeah. Like, if you don't know how this thing works, you'd say, wow, those are the two worst head coaches in football. Why are those teams so good?
Yeah.
Like, it's just such a silly, I think it's fairly silly, but
yeah. All right. That's the show.
All right. Everyone, thank you guys so much for listening. Give us a like, give us a review wherever you get your podcast. Season is underway, at least preseason. Let's hope for no more injuries. Until next time, we are out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.